Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast brought to you by Proudmouth. I'm your host, Matt Halloran. Being your own loud is not new to marketing, but the mindset, strategies, and resources to help you get there are evolving faster than this industry is keeping up. It is time to find a new perspective on what works, why, and how to move your business forward. Listen as I interview guests to help you learn from them how to be your own loud. Let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Matt Halloran. Now, we are going to talk marketing today, and I had so much fun talking to John about marketing previously, and I think he adds a couple of different perspectives that I think all of you really, truly need to hear. One is the difference between foundational marketing and growth marketing, and then we're also going to talk about the idea of what do you do with leads and how can your marketing really help with that. John, welcome to the show.
Man, it's so good to be here. I've been a longtime fan, and I'm excited to actually be on the podcast with you.
I'm excited to pick your brain on this stuff because I really do think we talk about marketing a lot here, but I like your take on all of it. And I know that's a very blanket statement, but I love how you look at marketing because it is so different and it is actually entirely in line with what we do at Proudmouth. It's a little self-promoting, but I want you to talk about this stuff because you as an outside objective third person are really truly reinforcing what we've been preaching here for a long time. And let's begin with this idea. There's a big difference between growth marketing and foundational marketing.
It is. And I see people often get those two out of order, which is where I get very passionate about it. So my definition of the two, and I know we can talk about active and passive, and there's all the different ways to split this thing up. So this is another way to add to that, is when you think of foundational marketing, it is the things that I believe every advisor needs. It's, do you have a good website? Do you have your brand proposition down? Do you have some type of influence marketing going? Do you have a voice? And I think everyone should have that. You can get into maybe testimonials, maybe SEO, like you start to stretch that. But I think of that all in the world of foundational marketing. And what I then hear a lot of people, and where I've spent a lot of time in my career as a CMO, is on growth marketing. And I could also call that paid channel marketing or ROI calculation marketing. And what I think of that is, are you spending a bunch of money in digital beyond just the basics of, do I have myself covered? Am I like bidding on keywords and spending tens of thousands a month? Am I doing old school things like direct mail? Am I using third parties? All those different ways is when I think about growth marketing. Where I get passionate about it is growth marketing is, oh, I'm spend X and I get Y, and I want to do that all day. And that's a great, and it's really hard, which we'll touch on, I'm sure, today. But so many times people skip foundational marketing, it drives me bananas. And you don't have the social proof, and you don't have the influence, and you don't have the, people are going to go to your website, and they're going to be like, what? No, I'm not ready to work with you. So when I see those two, I'm so passionate about both of them, but I'm most passionate about get them in the right order. Make sure your foundation is set before you start throwing money at a channel.
Well, let's expand just a little bit on what you refer to as foundational marketing, because really growth marketing is a huge component of what I wanted to talk to you about today. I just like the fact that you just listed a bunch of things there that are part of the foundation. How long in your experience, because you've actually been doing this for quite a while, how long in your experience in working in financial services and with advisors, do you have to spend time with foundational marketing before you're really, I just made up a word. Foundational marketing before you move on to growth marketing?
You can obviously rush through it and spend a lot of money, but it's a year. It's a year plus for sure. And it takes that to have a great web. First, do you have your brand? Do you have a brand proposition that makes you somewhat unique? I know it's a crowded space, but you have to have a position. And then have you translate that into your materials, into your website, and through all of your firm, whether you're a three-person firm or a 50-person firm or bigger. To me, those are the foundational elements. And again, I did stretch it because occasionally I'll then go into, are you doing some SEO on your website? Are you even doing what I'm going to refer to as defensive SEM or paid search? Do you bid on your own name? Do you bid on your own advisor names? Do you bid on, that's like protecting your own house, right? Before you're out there bidding on financial planning in Albuquerque, New Mexico, right? Where do you get those way out there, those things? So it can take a year or two, and it is well worth doing right before you lean into spending money, because what I hate to see is people leaning into growth marketing, spending money and wasting it.
I had a gentleman who was on a sales call with me within the last 2 weeks, and he started off our sales call by saying, marketing doesn't work. I spend $7,500 a month on paid ads and I've gotten zero results. And I was thinking to myself, holy crap. First off, wow, that's a spend. And then, of course, as you do, because we're professionals, I was preparing for the call and I was looking at all of his content and his social media and all of his stuff. And I was like, who are you, dude? I don't even know what you do. And you're dropping all of this money. Because again, it's that A plus B equals C equation that a lot of advisors are looking for.
I couldn't agree more. And then the other thing you'll see when that happens, which is a whole other vein if we want to pull on it, or a whole other thread, is, are you even ready to convert leads? So even if you have your foundational marketing done and you're tight and you got it, and now you're driving some leads through whatever third party or through digital or through referral programs, are you set up to close them? Do you have the people? Do you have a way to get appointments? Do you know the process? Can you close something that's not a referral? And you'll see lots of articles these days commenting on the third party space. And by third, there's Smart Asset. I work with a firm named Dataline. There's Zoe. There's lots of good firms in that space. And lots of people struggle with those because they're just not ready to close them. And it is still mostly on the advisory firm to close them. So yes, I hate to see people start to spend all that money and see it not generate a return.
So let's talk about the lead stuff, because as we were prepping for the call, I said, dude, I really want to spend time on this, because so many people are out there and there are so many very reputable companies that are really providing what I would actually consider pretty high quality leads that are pretty freaking warm to advisors. And you have a lot of unique experience in this space. So where do you want to begin with that conversation?
I can go back and then I'll give a little idea and then you tell me if it's helpful and where we want to pull on it again. So just quick, yeah, my background, I've worked with firms like Fisher Investments, Wealth Enhancement Group, right? Some of the largest marketing RIAs out there. But I'll give you a story. Is when I joined Wealth Enhancement Group, this was in the Wayback Machine, and it was a sub $2 billion RIA. It was, and in that time, that was still a bigger RIA, don't get me wrong, but not a powerhouse, not $10 billion, and as you see all these firms grow today. And we had a person and a half in the call center. So we had a call center who scheduled appointments. We had a radio show, old school radio show. Appointments came in. I had to budget differently when the call center person was on vacation. That starts to tell you the importance of that one person. And she was actually there for 20 years and just did amazing work. But she's gone for a week. Guess who ended up in the chair?
John's making
this guy. This guy. And I could do that. I was actually licensed and so compliantly I could do that. But I was the one who was like, oh, she's, I guess that's my job this week. And maternity leaves on the thing. So when you think of that, it's versus generating a lead and getting the right lead and quality lead. But it's first is, can you even set an appointment? Those leads need to be nurtured. They need to be inbound, outbound, qualified, and scheduled. And I wish that they would just go to a website or a Calendly and do it. I do wish that too. We're not quite there yet. We're closer. It's not there yet. And so that's step one. Step two is then, do you have advisors who actually close these leads? And let me tell you, most can't. And they might be able to do rainmaking, they might be able to close referrals. But closing a marketing lead is harder than people think. And I was working with a large RIA recently, and they determined that 30% of their advisors could do it. This is a very successful RIA, 30%. And the other 70%, they're like, it's never gonna work. So until you have that all the way through, you shouldn't be spending money on leads. And again, you spend some money on leads, learn where that breaks, fix it, spend a little bit more, fix it. But just plowing money into leads every month to get nothing, that's right. I might have to lay down on the floor during our podcast. We might not make it through.
We both get in a fetal position and start barking. I think that's really interesting. And you don't know what you don't know either. So if you have been using referral marketing, organic marketing really is the true way for you to be able to bring in new business, which people are already coming in. And we have a continuum called skeptics to fans. So they're getting close to that fan component. They know who you are. They like, know, and trust you already. Man, you're talking to skeptics. And that is really a totally different way to go ahead and run your business. And a lot of those skeptics that you're talking to don't always turn into lifelong clients because you sold them, right? And there's a lot of old school closing techniques that a lot of advisors don't know how to do anymore because that's not the business that they've come from. So let's actually talk about, do you have any sort of advice for our listeners? Because regardless if they're buying leads, if they're generating leads, or if they're closing referrals, you actually have a lot of good experience in teaching people how to be more successful in that arena. Do you have any tips for our people to help them with that process?
I do. There's some truths just in marketing and in positioning and all things we do. And one of the truths still is time to lead matters. That's true if it's a referral lead. That is true if it is a lead just generated by your firm digitally or whatever, it matters. And starting to understand that and track that. And that means getting it from days to a day, to the same day, to hours, to minutes. I had another firm recently tell me they could quote the difference in conversion rate if they got to a digital lead between 30 seconds and 180 seconds. Now, this is a firm that has it dialed in. It has it dialed in. I know, even I was like, wow, that's impressive that they're doing that. But it gives you a sense of that's how far the continuum is. Now, again, hours is good at first, days is good. You don't need to be that. That's the extreme end of the area. But you need to do it. Another firm, so let's just say you don't have a call center person. You don't have a business development representative. You're just putting the toe in the water. I have had firms that say, we've got four pretty aggressive younger people that are doing some other function in the firm. And when I get a lead, it does trigger an email to these four that says, who's available? And one of them, Betsy, writes back and Betsy says, I'm available. I got this lead. And if she schedules that lead, she gets $50. Something as basic as that can work very well. And in that, you're probably getting to most of the leads pretty quickly within business hours. And Betsy can do it. She's willing to make a phone call and understands what to ask. She can probably do it. It's not as refined as, again, when I went to the 32nd with a call center, but there are ways to do it. And without even making a hire, you can start to get those leads through in a good way.
So what happens after that phone call happens?
So generally, there's a couple of things. So if you have the lead and you have the contact information, there needs to be multiple follow-up points, right? I wish it was, again, just one phone call you get scheduled. Usually, firms will have a call and a voicemail the first day, an email or a text the second day, a call or a voicemail the third day. This is someone who expressed interest, so you're trying to get them. And it slows down, and then maybe it's the first 3 days, it's something every day, and then you touch them at a week, 2 weeks, then maybe a month, then 6 months. And then the lead just goes into hopefully some kind of drip campaign where you have your podcast or your other marketing where you still want if they've opted in. And so that's what happens. Once it gets from there, it is really about the advisor picking up the ball and figuring out, can those advisors close or not? Do they want to close? Are they even willing? And I think maybe a difference, I said they can't. I'm going to change it and say a lot just don't want to. This is not what I do. I've been here for 30 years and I'm really good at this and I can take these warm leads and close them. And you're asking me to back up, as you said, in the skeptic phase, and I don't want to do it. And that's better to realize that than to ram your head against the wall forever, trying to get them to do it or feeding them leads. And they're like, yeah, these leads suck. To you, they do. And that's okay. Let's move on and let you be great at what you're great at. But there are some that 30% roughly of advisors who can take those leads and move them through at a good rate.
We've had a number of these stories, so I'm going to just share one of them very quickly. That one of the things that an advisor had done when they were actually purchasing leads from one of the companies that you just outlined. And John, so what he did was he said, look, you're going to get, and he got to those calls quickly. He said, look, you're going to get a whole bunch of people who are calling you and they're all going to be telling you how great they are. He said, I don't want to do that. Listen, I want you to subscribe to my podcast because what I want to do is I want to show you the level of commitment that I have to educating the people in our community who are just like you. And if after you listen to 3 or 4 of the podcasts, if you want to make an appointment, I'm going to give you 30 days to go ahead and do that and I'll follow up. And the lead companies were like, you're crazy. You got to go ahead and close them and go and it's attack. He did so well with that approach because he looked fundamentally different. He was already overcoming some of the objections that those people were going to have because people don't want to buy. Here's the deal. I've said this so many times on this podcast that I'm sure our listeners by now are really tired of me saying this, but nobody wants to be sold to anymore. They want to buy from you. And even if you buy leads, you can still have a buy from you philosophy. Do you think I'm crazy on that, brother, or where are you at?
I love that story. If you're going to do something, I don't want to call that passive, but not as active, it better be something cool and it better stand out. And that's what you just described. And that goes back to our first point. That is a firm that it sounds like they had their foundational marketing nailed, strong, ready to go. And so much so he just leaned on it. He was like, not only am I going to have it in the background, I'm going to bring it right to the foreground. That's a really cool story.
Now, one of the other things that you have a lot of experience in is center of influence marketing. Thank you for diving deep into the lead thing. I'm sure we could do probably five episodes on that alone. But let's talk about COI marketing, because that's a huge part of our system here in our managed influence service. And we've had good success, better than good success, with a lot of our advisors. But I want to know what your take on it, because our audience has heard our take on it. Tell us what you think you need to have in place to truly execute a COI marketing strategy.
So I've seen something of interest lately working at some of the, call it medium to larger firms, which I hadn't seen historically. And it's that they're actually hiring a COI business development officer. So it's one thing when the marketing group says, hey, I built this program and you should go do it and get it out there. And usually what happens is they build a pretty good program. They give it to some advisors and the advisors do it. But no one's really accountable. No one's going to get fired if it doesn't work. Nobody really pushes all the way through. What I've seen, whether it's in an individual firm or in a medium to larger firm where someone owns it, so no, this one person owns it. They're the one contacting CPAs and lawyers and estate planners and saying, hey, can we do a joint presentation together? Here's how it works compliantly. Here's what I'm going to bring. Here's what I ask you to bring. And if we do that together, we can both win and you'll get some of our clients. I'll get some of your clients and we're going to do this thing together. That's what I really see working, is when they actually lean into it. And someone's, besides just a marketing group and a bunch of advisors, somebody owns it. And their butt is on the line. If nobody comes, doesn't look good.
Part of our strategy is bringing on those estate planning attorneys and really positioning it in a very similar way, right? To say, hey, look, you know what? You're going to gain access to my audience. I'm going to gain access to your audience. Rising tide lifts all boats. We all win. You have to share the podcast in order for you to be on our show and those sorts of stuff. So I love the dedicated person. In fact, I think a lot of offices need to have more dedicated people when it comes to really sales and marketing directly, because usually, and you're really, you've been doing this for a long time, that's usually just one person. And it's usually the rainmaker, the founder of the firm, who is trying to fulfill all of these roles. How have you found advisors can not have to be the everything when it comes to sales and marketing? How do you consult them on outsourcing or hiring and bringing in somebody in? Because I know that's something else that you've done.
It's where you start is tricky, and what you start with is tricky. And so let's talk about it in the same construct we've been using, which is this foundational marketing and then growth marketing. So you'd obviously, there needs to be someone in-house that's going to help run things. You can use a lot, you can outsource a lot of agencies. There's outsource CMOs. I would say, it, by the way, as a marketing snob for the last 30 years, I am really impressed with the agencies right now in our space. And I was not historically. I was always like, my God, they're going to just charge you a couple hundred grand for a brand study that you're not going to be quite sure how to implement. And that's not good. What I see the agencies doing now is really impressive. And I'm not going to name names because I'll leave one out. But there are a number of really good marketing agencies out there. And I think you know one, because I see it over your right shoulder. Might be a hint of which one that is. So I do think there is there, but there needs to be someone internally, more than an intern, who can actually put the glue together and get that through. So I think that's your first move. The second move, which is where I'm going to differ maybe a little from other people, let's assume you're doing some outsourced, you're getting, is who's running the sales process? Who is taking it and moving it all the way through to ensure that there is ROI attached to marketing? In my career, I've been at firms where it's very ROI driven. What I will argue, and when I mentor people, is the number one way to not get fired as a marketer is when you spend money, you can justify it. That was one of the secrets. There is safety in numbers. There is safety in throughput. There is safety in production. That's what it is. And so, yes, marketing very much has a positioning in that. But once you get beyond that, you need safety. And to your point of the person spending $7,500 a month, hopefully that's the owner, because then he can't fire himself. Because if it's the person one down, it could be the person that might end up not with a job.
So as we wind down some of this stuff, I wanted to make sure that we didn't really miss any aspects of advisor marketing, advisor growth, how to go ahead and convert more people with all of the opportunities and all of the experience that you have. And there's one more that we need to chat about today. The funding and investment space for RIAs. There's lots of money flowing around. There's lots of ways to use that money through mergers and acquisitions, through your company being seeded with cash that you can do stuff with. And this is where, I shouldn't say, this is a lot of where you're living now, if I'm not mistaken. So what do we do with all of that information?
So it goes back to the idea of when you should lean into paid and growth marketing, when you're going to hit that stage of development. And unfortunately, what I've seen is there are now success stories out there. There's Creative Plannings and Wealth Enhancement Groups and Fisher Investments, and there's lots of great firms doing great things. What I see then happen with other firms is whether it's an owner, internal or external, is they're like, just turn it on. Start doing it now. And that's, again, where you see them jump over. Do I have the foundational marketing done? Do I have a conversion plan done? Do I have the marketing technology to be able to move leads efficiently through a system? Do I have the buy-in of the sales group that once I get these leads, that they're actually going to go somewhere? And until you've lined all those things up, now that is not cheap. And yes, you can start with the four people taking the calls like we talked about, or some basic HubSpot, right, implementation. You can start with those things, and those are good things, but you're signing up to continue to build an infrastructure that is going to come all the way through, and that is not cheap. So one of, to your points on funding, one of the mistakes or one of the myths I want to debunk out there is, why would I take external funding, or why do I need to raise money from one of, there's about a dozen great ways to do it right now, when I'm not going to go buy a bunch of firms? And I would highly argue that's actually the wrong way to look at it. The reason, one of the reasons to invest is because you want to take the step we just described. And that step is going to cost money. A second part is, when you're evaluating if you're marketing or working or not, there is a payback. And there's a million ways to look at that. Net present value, cost per client, right? Return on ad spend, media efficiency ratio. Those are all, they're all great. They're all part of the same funnel. But at some point, you're spending money ahead to get a client, which is going to pay you back in some period of time, hopefully less than 2 years, but there's a payback, right? You know what that costs? Cash flow. I used to joke, I think there's a reason Ken Fisher rolled out direct marketing way long ago ahead of everyone else. One is he figured out the math. Two was he was rich. He could spend ahead. If he knew that dollar was going to come back threefold, fourfold, and he knew the formula, he had the cash flow to go do it really well. And so when you see that, I think there is a chance that firms or an opportunity for firms to think of, I am going to consider taking an investment or working with minority, majority, all the different ways you can do that, because I want to grow and I want to build that infrastructure. And I know it can work when it's done right. And I know it can work, but I'm not going to cut the corners and shoot myself in the foot.
That dollar in, dollar out, or return on investment, return on marketing, return on influence, all of the things that all of us have talked about for quite a while. There is math involved with it, but you have to have your stuff so dialed in. And as a high growth company that we are here at Proudmouth, it's absolutely fascinating because we actually take a 48-month view on everything we're really doing here. And so I know that 4 years ago, we rebranded to Proudmouth. And now, when did we start really seeing the return on that major investment? And when you look at most financial services, from you said this right at the top of the show, do you look any different? Do you actually know who you are and what you do and what makes you unique and different and why people should trust you and who you're actually supposed to be marketing to? If you don't have that foundational marketing in place, you're pissing away money and you're going to go to the next conference. And dude, you and I talked about this before. You're going to go to the next conference and some guy like me is going to talk about how great their marketing system is and you're going to buy it and you're going to give it 3 months and it doesn't work. And so therefore you're going to go ahead and try the next thing. And that fits and starts marketing is such an absolute nightmare. But I love where you just went with that because I don't think a lot of financial advisors look at their businesses like other businesses look at businesses because other businesses take capital all the time, right? They'll either take out a loan, whether it's private or personal. They'll go ahead and they'll bring in equity or equity partners in order for them to take that next growth. Why do you think advisors are so resistant to that? Is it a control thing? What do you think?
I think it's the nature of our industry and where it was and where it's evolving to. Let's be honest. This was a lone wolf industry. You affiliated with some financial company. You worked for Ameriprise, which meant you ran paperwork through them, but you ran your own business. They threw the phone book at you. They said, call your family. It was out there. And that was you bought somebody's book. That was the way to get in. And there wasn't centralized systems where there was the opportunity to have. And as you've seen in the growth in the RIA space, which is exploding and continuing even within that segment of what we're doing, it's, oh, now you're seeing quote unquote fully developed companies that can take things from A to Z where you didn't, it's not just another lone wolf. And I think you're even seeing it, it's spreading into the broker dealers, it's spreading it. Organic growth has gone from the minority Two, boy, if I want to win a value proposition to attract people to me, whether you're acquiring firms or partnering with firms or you're an agency, I better have an organic story. And that is laddering up. Now, even within that, Matt, though, I'm sure you've seen, we've seen the same studies, organic was down last year. It was shocking. The Fidelity study, there was a number of studies, organic was down. I couldn't believe it because I think the macro trend is up. It might be like there was the blip in the amount of acquisitions done. And as we're in a consolidating industry, I think there was a blip in organic, maybe even off of some poor market performance back a year ago, plus ago, people maybe pulled back. But that long-term trend, it is coming where now there are companies where I can build a system and I can see it from beginning to end and I can control it. And that just didn't exist. It was just really rare 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And now it's becoming increasingly common.
John, dude, there's so much in your brain, dude. And I don't have the time to pull it all out of your brain. And if I did pull it out, then nobody would hire you. So listen, if somebody wants to know more about you, connect with you, pick your brain, learn from you, what's the best way for them to reach out and find out more?
Yeah, I'll throw a couple things out there. So one is LinkedIn. As most of us, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. John Werns, so W-E-R-N-Z, as you'll see on the podcast. My email, if you want to email me directly, it's jwerns, so it's J-W-E-R-N-Z underscore E-I-R, which stands for Executive in Residence, at greathillpartners.com. So jwerns underscore E-I-R at greathillpartners.com. And yeah, I'm happy to chat. I'm not a consultant per se, but I love connecting people. And there's so many good companies I help with, whether it's from a board or consulting or other areas. So getting people in the right place. And I'm a sucker for helping with organic growth because it's what we both live for. And I hate seeing people struggle with it. So if I can give somebody a nudge or to point them in a certain direction to do that, it makes me really happy and it makes my day happier.
Well, and that's one of the things, and that's really what happened when we initially connected, right? It was what can I do to help you? What can you do to help me? Who do you know? How do you know these people? Would this person be a good kid? And I don't think enough people really lean into that anymore. I think I've got this huge social network, right? I have all of these connections on LinkedIn. I can just reach out. I'm telling you right now, man, people reach out to me on LinkedIn all the time and I decline their messages, right? Because they're trying to sell me something before they've ever known me. But you do have a lot of experience, a lot of resources, and a lot of opportunities that you can make some connections. So thank you for being a connector. I don't think there's enough of you out there. One of my other favorite connectors that I think is Cheryl Hickerson with Females in Finance. If you really want to know somebody in the space, Cheryl knows that person. And she not only knows them, but she has a good relationship and can probably tell you about their kids and their dogs and their cats and all of that sort of stuff. And you have that same sort of feel about you. So John, I really appreciate you. Thank you for being such a great guest on the show. Listen, everybody, here's the big thing. Stop talking to skeptics. And even if you are going to talk to skeptics, have a freaking plan, man. Make sure that you have that foundational marketing in place. But more importantly, what can you do to start talking to more fans? And that's really after you have that foundational marketing in place, everything will start working together. It's like a great jazz band, right? When all of the instruments are playing together, it's unbelievable. But you got that one thing that's just a little bit out of tune or one beat off or whatever, and it sounds like freaking chaos. And we want to make sure that you are able to rise above the noise and be your own loud and truly get your voice out in the marketplace. John, thank you very much for being on the show and for everybody here at Proudmouth. We'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast brought to you by Proudmouth. If you want to know more about how you can be your own loud, visit us at proudmouth.com and sign up for the Pod Rocket Academy. Through courses and office hours led by professional podcast producers and digital marketers, you will learn everything you need to know to become the trusted subject matter expert you were meant to be.